Hello, Christians. Stand by for almost an hour of adoring our Lord Jesus Christ together in fellowship, prayers, song, and conversation.
As Christians, I just love Easter, don't you, Glenna?
I do, Mary. I absolutely love celebrating Easter.
Okay, ladies, Easter.
In the first place, we realize that it is when the new covenant came into being with God.
Yes, and it replaced the old covenant that he had established with Moses.
Through the personal sacrifice of his own life, his own blood, Christ himself became the sacrificial Lamb of God.
That's right. Can you think of a scriptural verse that tells us what he did at the cross?
Well, the one that most people have heard, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son.
Yes. And in 2 Corinthians 5:21, he became sin who knew no sin, that in him we might become the righteousness of God.
Mm-hmm. Good. Too many people miss the true significance of Easter. Our society today would argue it's just another holiday. The truth is, for Christians, if there weren't any Easter, there wouldn't be any Christmas. And really, without Christ, all of us would be without hope. Well, my name is Jim Bennett, and I'm going to be the voice of Paul Savage today since he has froggies in his throat.
Hi, I'm Paul's wife, Glenna. You know me. And Paul is sitting right here beside me in the studio, but he isn't able to talk today. So I'm just going to have to make up the difference.
Just call me down. Hold
me down. And I'm Mary, Jim's wife. Paul made me temporary program director, and folks, I think I hear a train.
So I have an express program. Everybody say all aboard.
All aboard. Is that the train I hear? Could it be drawing near? Could it be the Heaven Express? If the Lord came today, could you say, I'm ready for the Heaven Express?
If I should die tomorrow,
or you, someday we'll be together, forever and ever, amen.
You know, I was thinking, honey, you know, Scripture tells us that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of the Lord. There it is again.
All aboard, they call. Jesus paid it all. He's the ticket for the Heaven Express.
And you are blessed on the Heaven Express.
I know we are.
Yes, we are blessed on the Heaven Express.
This is the segment of the program we do. It's called The Heart of the Composer. And, you know what song you're going to do today?
Well, I believe that we recorded O Great God.
Here we go with O Great God.
Tonight's song is called There Is a Redeemer. The words and the music are by Melody Green. She was born August 25th in 1946.
She was born in Hollywood, California. But she came into this world quietly and without fanfare. She grew up in Venice in a little apartment that faced an alley called Speedway. With no safe place to play and the beach just a few hundred feet away, the sand became her only playground. As a young girl who always watched the shifting tides, the star patterns, and the sunsets, Melody realized there must be a creator for such perpetual beauty, universal order, and symmetry to exist. Her father was a World War II Navy SEALs veteran. Her mom worked at a CPA firm and was raised in an Orthodox Jewish family. She was the child of Russian refugees. Melody's grandfather was a rabbi, and her grandmother was the child of a grand rabbi. Escaping Tsarist persecution, her grandparents bundled up their five children and took a train to the shipyard in Odessa. Melody says, "It's a miracle I'm even alive. My family barely escaped death in Odessa. Then on the train ride to the port, they were ducking bullets shot at them through the windows. My precious grandparents put the kids on the floor and then laid on top of them, covered with pillows for protection. They made it to the port and actually escaped on the very last ship that would allow fleeing refugees on board. My mother was their sixth child, but the very first child to be born in America. Today, Melody says, my family history has played a large part in shaping my heart, so that I totally disdain all types of persecution, prejudice, and injustice. Some things are just wrong. My spirit told me this long before I met the Lord." After college, she took a job at a production company, and it was there that she met Keith Green, an aspiring musician who was on a similar spiritual journey. Within a year, they were married, and they continued their spiritual search together. In 1975, they were invited to a small Bible study, and their lives were forever changed. Melody finally found the truth she'd been looking for, and both Melody and Keith understood that in Jesus they had found their one and only true Messiah. Calling herself a Jewish Christian, she and Keith opened the doors of their small home and took in kids with drug problems and surprise pregnancies and usually led them to the Lord. They also had potluck dinners and Bible studies for their whole neighborhood, going door to door to invite people. In 1979, they decided to leave the city because of all the rehab work that they were trying to get done. So they moved their flourishing ministry to a 120-acre ranch in East Texas. Melody still traveled on Keith's concert tours, where she ran the soundboard, sold the albums, and as always, she and Keith would write music wherever they could. By 1982, the ministry had a worldwide impact with nearly 100 people on staff. Keith's music was at the top of the charts, and new facilities were built, and much more was in the planning stages. And then one day in July, a tragic accident changed Melody's life forever. Keith and two of their young children went for a short ride in a small plane. Keith met the pilot on the runway and everybody jumped into the plane. But the plane did not get the needed lift, and just 20 seconds later it crashed in a neighboring field and it burst into flames, and there were no survivors. So Melody lost her husband Keith, who was just 28, her firstborn son Josiah, who was almost 4, and Bethany, who was 2 years old. So at that time, Melody was at home with their one-year-old daughter, Rebecca Joy, and she was 6 weeks pregnant with her fourth child, who would be Rachel Hope. "Without the Lord, I never would have made it," she says. But she did make it, and she pressed on In the fall of 1982, she traveled across America with the Keith Green Memorial Concert, reaching over 300,000 people face to face. In the following years, God opened many unforeseen doors for Melody, and today she still oversees their ministry. Loving to expose people to what she believes is important, she continues to write and bring the teaching to other people that she believes has something vital to say. Believing that caring for others is not an option, she established the Good Neighbor Mercy Fund, and it helps the sick and the needy. Melody now lives in Kansas City. Her daughters are happily married and following the Lord with their husbands. So that's a little bit of history on Melody Green, who at the moment of losing what seemed to be everything, wrote this song, "There Is a Redeemer." Of course, that was "There Is a Redeemer," written by Melody Green at the time of losing her husband, and yet she clung to Christ, her Redeemer.
The next segment of our program is what we call Pearls of Wisdom from a Godly Grandpa. Not everyone has the blessing of a godly grandfather. Many never knew the grandfather at all. Here he is, Brian Savage reading Pearls of Wisdom.
I've been thinking about Easter for weeks. There are several reasons, but the one that got me dwelling on this top Christian holiday was a question somebody asked me last year. I had tucked the thought away, thinking that I'd ponder it when I had more time, and then I lost track of it. Well, since I pulled it out of my file, I haven't let it go. A child had asked me if I thought we would celebrate Easter in heaven. Of course, was my initial reaction. In fact, if I recall correctly, it was, of course, of course, of course. Pretty emphatic. I can't think of a greater holiday, ever, in all time, that demonstrates God's love, His perfection, His will, His holiness, and I can go on and on. Except for those who've been condemned to be thrown out of His sight, I'm thinking that all creatures, great and small, will, in wondrous annual celebration, honor the King of Kings and Lord of Lords for the victory that reigns forever. Talk about parades and tools of conquest that picture great victories in battle. Imagine Jesus parading by with the cross of victory raised in His hand. Imagine the angels, all the heavenly hosts singing, shouting, raising their arms to Hosanna in the highest. Every knee bowed, every arm extended, even the rocks will be shouting for joy. God commanded Moses to celebrate certain holidays under the Old Covenant, but Easter celebrations in eternity will be beyond imagination. The best of the best best. Perfect music, perfect people, perfect food, and guess what? We will be there. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brian.
That's a nice thought, isn't it? Yeah.
It is.
What do you think about that, Pastor Josh?
Sounds good to me.
Well, you wouldn't argue that?
What's that?
That there's Easter celebration in heaven? What do you think?
Well, I think that...
Was you paying attention?
Well, a little bit.
Was you napping?
I was checking on my text messages, to be honest, but I heard the tail end of it, and things will be perfect. And, you know, that perfect song will include the death and resurrection of Christ. You read that in the book of Revelation.
Oh, man.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
So...
Yeah. Well, our guests with us today are a wonderful couple of friends of ours, and that is Jim and Mary Bennett. And we also have our precious pastor who decided to stick around because he had such a good time the first hour, and we're so glad he did.
Yes.
So we have Pastor Josh Haas and Jim and Mary Bennett, and we just want to welcome all of you today and thank you for joining us on the Heaven Express program.
Thank you, Glenna.
Yeah, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Well, give our listeners an update on things at your church over there in LaRue Baptist, where you guys attend. What's going on over there?
We just finished our yearly Bible conference. We had a pastor who originally from New York, but now he is in New York City, and now he's in Kentucky. So it's a big change
That's
for him.
That's a big change.
He likes crowds, and his wife actually likes the country more, so it works out good. They have four kids. And his name is Peter LaRufa. Did a great conference on being friends. Friends with God, friends with your spouse. And he built that into friends with friends.
Friends with Paul.
He pointed out, it was really good how he pointed out we have reduced the idea of friendship to really very little. He pointed out husbands and wives need to be friends, friends who are willing to die for one another. It was a great Bible conference. We have a great pastor out there, Pastor Tim. He continues to bring in the youth, and the youth listen and take notes.
Amazing.
We just really have a congregation who welcomes, and a pastor who preaches truth and it just keeps it solid. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to say that. He is going to go.
Is he still around? Gosh, he's been around forever.
He's been around forever, and we hope he stays around forever.
Is he? How old is he? He must be 90, 99.
No.
I don't think he's as old as you are, Paul.
Good answer. I deserve that.
He is.
And he's not. Yeah.
He is still going to Romania and helping churches there get established by training pastors. And this year, Pastor Josh is going to go. And so there's a group of pastors who go over there and train the pastors there so that they have, for lack of a better term, homeboys being preachers rather than missionaries coming in and preaching. So it's been a great program that Dave Durland started and brings these guys in. So we just have a lot going on at our church. Probably could go on a lot more with it, but we do have Saturday afternoons lunch, and everyone's welcome. It is a Sunday afternoon. I didn't mean to say Saturday.
Don't come over there on Saturday.
Don't come over there on Saturday. It's Sunday afternoon lunches, and after preaching of the word, and then we have short preaching after lunch. So I want to invite everybody.
You have to be short to give a short sermon.
You have to be short to give a short sermon, yes.
I qualify.
Yes, but your sermons are never short, honey.
Our Sunday school starts at 9:30, and the worship service starts at 10:30. So we just want to invite everybody to come out.
And I used to have a meeting after and having lunch together.
That's what he was saying. Yep. Yeah. Yes. Sunday afternoons. Not Saturday, Sunday afternoons.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You confused me with that Saturday.
I threw it off with Saturday. No one comes Saturday. Okay.
Let me go back just real quick to the Romania thing. Pastor Josh, I was just wondering how you're feeling. Are you feeling a little intrepid? Or are you feeling adventurous? Are you feeling courageous? How are you feeling? You know, it's kind of like being a disciple going out, you know?
Okay, so sure. Going to Romania, how do I feel? Honored, because the ministry that has been underway now for 15 years.
I wondered how long. Yeah.
It has borne so much fruit for the gospel, and the men who have been managing it so faithful, but they're passing the baton now to the next generation. And so I feel honored. My church is behind me and my family, so that's, you know, I feel a sense of responsibility, but very excited. Get to meet some new brothers and sisters in the Lord and to establish a relationship that will hopefully help us all grow. In ways that are pleasing to our Lord and glorifying to Him. So, yeah, I'm excited.
Oh, that is so wonderful. What a great opportunity.
Yeah.
And we will just be in prayer for you guys over there so strongly. Well, Jim, I'm going to come back to you if you don't mind, because you work for a company that's out of Cincinnati. Is that right?
That's right.
And how long have you worked with them?
This is my 16th year.
16 years.
Yes.
And somewhere in there, Paul worked with you too. Is that not right?
Paul did. We had a blast.
Yeah.
He taught me a lot of little things
that you can share.
Oh, it would take too long.
Okay.
But some of them I can't share.
Well, Paul told me when I first met you, he said that you worked for a dock company. So I pictured you working in Chicago and wearing black outfits and somehow associated with the mafia. Now, that just isn't true, is it?
You're right. It's not true. I do not work in Chicago.
Okay. All right. Thank you. And Miss Mary, you're working at a jewelry store right here in Marion, aren't you?
Yes, I work at Carol's Jewelers with Lowell Thurston and a great group of women. And we have just a wonderful clientele that come in, and we're in the happiness business and enjoy. Mm. I enjoy what we do, and it's been wonderful.
I would think, because so many... Well, especially this time of year as people are getting ready for weddings and marriages and things. You know, you have those beautiful sparkly eyes coming in, all a glisten and a glow for one another. And
we meet a lot of wonderful people.
Yes, I bet you do. My goodness, that is terrific. Well, do you enjoy working? Because I know you stayed home for a long time before you started working.
Yes, I stayed home and raised our four girls, and then when our youngest graduated, Jim graduated me out of the house, and I just work part-time, but I love doing what I do and meeting needs with that, and the girls love the fact that I'm out and doing things that are different now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. Well, are all of your children out of the nest then?
We still have one at home. Jules is a student at OSUM, and she works there and is a student there. She has ministry in New City Fellowship and also some ministries in the Rue Baptist. And then the rest of the girls are out, married and with babies, and babies on the way. And
well, tell us about your girls and your babies on the way.
Michelle has two daughters, Madison and Adeline. Adeline's birthday is coming up this month. And Alicia has little Olive Marie, who is one, and she's due, Alicia's due in April for her second one. And we've been praying for this little one. We've had some concerns over the pregnancy. And the last week, Jim and I went down and went to the ultrasound, and the baby is growing. And so we're really thankful for an answer to prayer for that.
Praise
and
the Lord, yes.
Praying for a safe delivery for that little girl.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. There's nothing like being a grandma, is there, Mary?
It's wonderful.
I know. I love it, too. All right, Jim. Paul asked me if we couldn't take a biblical look at the commitments or the lack of commitments that Christians seem to demonstrate today. You know, it's not just individuals, but if you look around, I can see entire churches and even denominations. And sadly enough, that's not only in attendance, the churches are dwindling, even in the Easter season, but there seems to be to even be a mass withdrawal from worship, even from the youth in our churches.
You know, that's true, and that's why it really is neat to see the youth continue to come to our church and more continue to come. We've got a great youth program. Levi Pasma takes care of that, and Pastor Tim, Levi and several others, Pastor Tim continues to preach in a sense that they're listening. And so it is good. But when you look at a lot of churches, they've left the biblical teachings. And it's not going, you can't be a Christian and not be in the Bible.
Right.
And so it's natural that as churches leave solid biblical teaching, that the people would leave too. Probably one of my biggest concerns that I see with the church today is we tend to like to follow the way of the world. Mm-hmm. We need to be the light shining into a dark world, and I don't believe that we hold to the fact what sin really is. If we understood that we are going to stand before a holy God who will demand that we give account, we would be looking for a way out. And as we look for that way out, we get to see that God actually provides that way out. And it's a way out. It's not a way out where, you know, a lot of people today say, well, if you're a Christian, there's no penalty for sin. And that's a lie. There is a penalty for sin. It's that Jesus took that penalty. Mm-hmm. And since God is a righteous God, he never demands a payment twice. But if you don't come to Christ, there's just no hope.
Mm-hmm.
And as congregations, we don't present that to the world anymore. We present a God who's just begging people to come into his kingdom. And it's really not the God of the Bible.
Right. Yeah. And there's no longer physical sacrifices required because Christ Jesus was the perfect Lamb of God and was sacrificed. And yet, when we accept Christ, there is a calling, I believe, for the sacrifice of our heart.
Yes.
We have to give our heart to the Lord.
Well, James says, you know, show me your faith without works, and I'll show you my faith by what I do. And so it's not a question of earning your way into heaven, but if you are truly born again, then you are adopted into God's family, and you become a child of God, and you want to honor your father, and so you do the things your father wants you to do. Not to be saved, but to please your father.
Right, yeah.
Of course, we preach that here a lot on this this program. There's only one way. There is no other way.
There is no other way.
Jesus Christ.
Pastor Josh, feel free to jump in anytime you have something
I'm
that
enjoying
you want to
listening.
You know, we need to be ready to answer people when they say, "Well, what do you do with the innocent savage in Africa?"
Hey, watch your mouth.
sorry, Paul.
Get you on
took our name in vain.
Yeah.
Paul invented savage. Isn't your man a better metaphor than that?
I said innocent, savage. You're not innocent.
I am.
You know, saved by grace.
The truth.
That's
grace.
Right. Yeah. Saved by grace.
The truth that we need to be ready to relay to people is that if there is an innocent savage in the middle of Africa, he will go to heaven. But the Bible tells us that all have sinned. And we sin not only against God's law, but we sin against our own law. We make our own rules and we break them. And so the savage in Africa who's never read the Bible or heard of Jesus Christ won't be condemned to hell because he doesn't know Jesus. He will go to hell because he's a sinner by his own standard. And everyone is a sinner by their own standard. And when we come to understand that better, we're going to be able to answer those questions when people, you know, well, Jesus is kind of arrogant saying that he's the only way. Well, he's the creator. He has a right to say that he is the only way.
That's right.
And it's not that he has to have a right. He's the creator, so he makes the rules. Mm-hmm. And the great thing is, what he did with those rules was he provided that redemption. You mentioned there's no longer physical sacrifice because there was that physical sacrifice on the cross 2,000 years ago. Mm-hmm. And God does demand that payment. And if we as Christians would just understand that more, when we talk to unbelievers, we're going to, by some way, let them know that you have a payment that has to be paid. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, when we look at society, you know, just the idea of the theology that's in schools anymore, you know, we no longer teach that there's a standard of morality. The standard of morality is what? Josh, why don't you run with that?
Oh, the standard of morality, that's a moving target. What I encounter in our culture quite often is what defines right or wrong is kind of up to the individual, you know, what their basically their preference is or their identity or what they're comfortable with or not comfortable with. And so... morality has become, I guess, relative. Standards of right and wrong have become relative in our culture.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which it kind of ties in with what you're saying. Even if that is a standard, I think you're coming from Romans 2 when you were talking about that, how people without the law, you know, still kind of live by a set of laws, even if they don't have God's law. They have God's law written on their hearts, maybe not the Mosaic law, but... even their own standards of conduct, they break their own rules.
Yeah.
And they go from condemning themselves to excusing themselves. And that's evidence, even in that system of morality, that we're broken. Yeah.
And that's an awfully subtle shift, too, don't you think?
To
go from, you know, fully understanding yourself through God's eyes, and then allowing yourself to mold over into the morality of the world.
Yeah, it's as old as the Garden of Eden.
I mean,
Adam and Eve
is,
rejected,
right?
The story of the Bible, Adam and Eve rejected God's rule and reign over their lives and opted to create their own. And so it's as subtle as the serpent's temptations in Genesis 3. You're right. Yeah, it's deceptive. Yeah.
Very deceptive. Yeah. Matter of fact, Paul gave up eating apples.
The savage? Paul the savage?
The savage Paul will not eat an apple anymore. Especially if I say, here's an apple, little sweetie.
Yeah, that would do it.
That would do it, yes.
I'll get my own apple, thank you.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
It is about self. Whatever I think is right.
Mm-hmm. It is. Well, our mutual friend, Dave Brown, made this statement very popular. It's all about me. You know, and I think that's pretty much sums up what's going on in our world today. It's all about what I think, what I want, my opinions, my beliefs, and doesn't really matter what you think.
Yeah, Dave would tell you that. That's a truth right out of the scripture, 2 Timothy 3:2.
So, Jim, what do you think is coming down the chute, and what can the church do?
Well, when we look historically, when I look historically at it, here's what I think. In the Old Testament, when God's people started disobeying him, he would bring in the Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Romans, and God disciplines those he loves. And so I truly believe the church is going to be looking at discipline unless we turn back and start really looking at what it is that God says. We've got to go back to the standards of the Bible instead of the standards of this world, mm-hmm. or even instead of our own standard.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Do we hate the things that God hates? God hates violence. Why? Why do we have so much violence for entertainment? You know, that's only one small example, but if we just think about that.
It's a good example, though. It's been pretty clearly expressed with, violence, school shootings, sexual misconduct, men in power taking advantage of the Me Too movement, these things exist in our entertainment, and it's the same Hollywood culture, if you want to, take it down just to there. I mean, it's everywhere,
right,
it's the same culture that uses it for entertainment that perpetrates it and then rails against it, complains that it exists. Our culture is a walking contradiction.
And we train ourselves by watching it. But what Josh is saying is right on target with that. So my question would be, why are believers watching it? And so we're either going to start doing the things God wants us to do, or God's going to discipline us. God loves us. Of course he's going to discipline us.
Mm-hmm. I think we're going to break away here a little bit. We're going to have a quartet sing for us. They're called The Believers. And Brian,
they're called Believe.
Believe.
Yeah.
Why don't you, if you're ready, why don't you bring that up? We'll be right back to our guests here. It's a short moment.
What do you say to someone who feels like they've lost it all? Over the edge with no one there to break their fall. And what do you say to someone who feels so unloved? Giving themselves away a little bit every day just to be good enough. And what do you say to a hopeless soul? Can't remember their way home, and everything is out of their control. There is no valley, there is no darkness, there is no sorrow greater than the grace of Jesus. There is no moment, there is no distance, there is no heartbreak he can't take you through.
So before you think that you're too lost to say, remember
there is nothing greater than grace.
What do you say to someone whose life is on the
What do you say to someone who's built a wall that can't break through, and it's so hard for them to hear the truth?
There is no valley, there is no darkness, there is no sorrow
So, Jim, before the break, we were talking about the state of our culture. So how can we, Christians, make a real difference?
I would say two things. As Christians, we need to be praying for other believers, that we all would grow, praying for our leaders of our country, that they would be drawn back to God. Not back to God, that's a bad terminology. Drawn to God's ways.
Repent?
Well, repent, yeah. As leaders of the country, they need to be honoring God. And I won't say the real issue is the church, not the country. And so the church needs to pray for the church. They need to pray for their government. And the other, accountability. We Christians need to make ourselves accountable to one another for growth. If we're not striving to grow, then the church isn't going to be the light in this world. And we can't really grow on our own. We need to be accountable to one another. Find a partner who you can be with, especially your spouse. Your spouse is the best one. They're going to know you better than anyone else. And so if they're telling you that they see a problem, work it out. Go to God, go to His Word, read it, and be accountable to one another. See if there's growth.
Not only in a marriage partnership, but even as a body of believers.
Absolutely, absolutely.
In the church.
Yeah, find somebody. If you're not married, and even if you are married, sometimes men need to be accountable to men and women to women. Find someone who is going to ask you those hard questions. How are you doing with this sin in your life that you're trying to put off? How are you doing with this growth that you're working on? You know, did you pray once this week? You know, that's one thing that Pastor Peter pointed out. He said, when you're working with people, don't have them read the Bible every day of the week. Just one day. Work to just read the Bible one day a week, and when you hold them accountable to that, God draws them into reading it every day. Mm-hmm. But if you say read it every day and you're coming down on them too hard, it's just discouraging.
You know what a hard question is? Who got into those M&Ms?
Yeah, especially when you're sitting there and your face is all brown with chocolate.
Why?
Jim, if we could know that Jesus was coming back this Easter, what would you say about that? And would you do differently? Would you do stuff differently?
I hate to say it, I would do something different. I probably wouldn't go to work tomorrow. I would rather go out and proclaim the gospel truth to people. But we can do that at work. We can do that at the gas station. We can do that at the grocery store. Anywhere that we are, we can be friendly to the people around us and try to open up a conversation about God. Mm-hmm. When you do that, be sure to mention Jesus, because we all have different gods. Mother Earth has become a god.
That's right.
But that's a false god. The Islamic faith serves a false god. Jehovah's Witnesses serve a false god. So you really need to be ready to proclaim Jesus Christ, Him crucified, Him being God in the flesh, and being the only payment. That's what I would do tomorrow. That's what I'm going to try to do today.
So Christians should always be ready to give a response. I mean, that's scripture. You know, we always have to know why we believe, what we believe, and we have to be willing to share that. You know, right. It's like you can't hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. I mean,
it's
you know.
One of my daughter's favorite songs. Right?
Oh, mine too. I know. Yeah.
Yeah, we need to remember that God is a judge and He demands perfect payment. And since we sin, we owe a perfect payment that we can never pay. So our punishment will be, if we don't know Jesus Christ, the punishment for unbelievers will be being forsaken by God for all eternity. That's why Jesus said on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me?
Mm-hmm. And Jesus could come back any time.
He could. That's right. So, Christ is going to come back as a thief in the night. So we need to be waiting and watching and making disciples every day. We should be sharing the word, studying the word, and fervently praying for His will to be done.
What about those who do not believe?
On that one, we need to warn them of two things. The wrath to come and that they need to be saved. Mm-hmm. And it depends on the person you're talking to. Some people need to understand the wrath and some people need to understand the love.
Yes.
Preachers of the past would tell fire and brimstone sermons, and why don't we hear that anymore?
I believe it's because we've made Jesus to be a begging God who just wants people to come to Him, instead of a holy God who demands it.
Okay.
You know, we're out of time, folks. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much, and listeners, thank you also.
See you out there, folks. Have a great Easter.
God bless.
You're listening to WWGH Radio LP, Marion, Ohio, 107.1 FM, The Talking Place. From legendary talk show host, actor, broadcaster, and comedian Charles Grodin.
You know what